Hello and welcome to another installment of the verse-by-verse Bible teaching of the Washing Word. This is a ministry that exists because my wife and I own and operate the hand car washing business located in Churchill. We're on Highway 11W in the Palace Shopping Center, and it's called the Washing Word because there you can get your car hand washed. And there we also play these verse-by-verse Bible teaching messages. You can hear them on your radio in the parking lot. If you are there waiting to get your car washed, you can turn to 107.1 FM. We play them on a loop throughout the day. You can also go to WMCH 1260 AM radio, Church Hill, and our messages play Monday through Friday at 8:30 AM. And also you can go to the washingword.com website and you can hear all the messages through our media tab. They're all archived there. Also, any information you want about this ministry or about the business, you can find at washingword.com. Picking it up where we left off, that's what a verse-by-verse Bible teaching ministry does. And we're in the Gospel of John, chapter 16, and Jesus is giving his final words to his disciples just prior to him going back to the Father. And he says to them, you know, I'm going away, but you'll see me again. Not to be dismayed. Don't be fearful. You know, the disciples did what they could to try to grasp and understand what he was saying. But, you know, really, they couldn't grasp and understand it fully. And there are a lot of things about God that we don't grasp and understand fully. Amen. You know, and but these are the types of things in our Christian walk that we have to be careful that we don't dwell on too much, because God was never meant to be understood fully with our finite minds. But there are so many of us, and it's a kind of a natural progression that we have to understand how things work. We need to understand what we can do to make things better. And it's a good thing. It's a good natural quality and a natural trait, because that is how technology moves forward. That is how humankind moves forward through inventions and things of that nature. So, you know, analyzing and understanding and fixing, this is all the natural mind. But when it comes to God, we have to remember that we can't demand an understanding, because it's going to hinder a blessing. If we try to focus too much on understanding what God is doing, we're going to miss the blessing that God has through the simple faith that we're supposed to be exhibiting. God is in the irrational business, because there is nothing rational about the way he brought salvation to the world. Now, picking it up in verse 20, this is Jesus. Now, he was telling his disciples, you know, I have to go away so that you can get the Comforter, but you will see me again. In verse 20, he says, I tell you the truth, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come, but when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. And so it is with you. Now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. We see that several times in the last few chapters. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. And so, stopping right there we see again the confirmation of what I was talking about in our last message and other messages not too long ago, that in order to ask for anything in Jesus' name, that we will receive it, we have to ask in the Holy Spirit's name. That is, we need to let the Holy Spirit give us the words to say so that we can be praying and asking the will of God, because God reveals his will and his nature and his character to the Holy Spirit, which in turn reveals it to us, which we then utter through our prayers. And thus we are now uttering the will of God. We are uttering the name of Jesus. And that is a prayer that is prayed in the name of Jesus, not simply adding his name at the end of it and stamping it with a "now you must do it, God" type of mentality. But Jesus is saying, you will weep and you will mourn while others are laughing and having fun. Have you ever wept and mourned while others around you rejoice? I'll never forget the image of 9/11 when America was mourning the tragedy that was taking place as the buildings slowly began to collapse. And they pan over to Afghanistan, and people in the streets were having a parade, and they were celebrating. They were cheering and rejoicing while we in the States were mourning. And sometimes we mourn over the things that the world rejoices in. You know, the world today celebrates sin. They celebrate it with gay and homosexual, the LGBT community holidays and festivals. They celebrate the boasting of having sexual partners but not marrying. We celebrate lying and cheating. We celebrate stealing, and we encourage others to step on others so you can get to that 50th floor office. We add Santa to Christmas and bunnies to Easter, and all the while, the world is celebrating while God's heart is breaking. And if God's heart is breaking over something, so too ours should. And if your heart isn't breaking over the same things that God's heart is breaking over today, you have got to ask yourself the question, why? Why does my heart not break over abortion the way God's heart breaks over it? Why am I not concerned about the people who are going to hell the way God is? And listen, I know a lot of men out there who think that two men kissing is gross, but the same men will think that two beautiful women kissing is somehow sexy and appealing. Listen, let me encourage you. Dawn is coming. That is, that night is almost over. And while we are mourning today the loss of the morality that once infiltrated our society, and while we are mourning today the godliness that was once on earth and in America, and while we are mourning today the loss of the innocence of our youth because the internet, now we have 6 and 7 and 8 year olds knowing and seeing things that we didn't see as children until we were in our teens. And as we mourn over this, and we see the wickedness of the deeds that are done in the cover of darkness, remember that the morning may last for a night, but joy what? Joy comes in the morning. And Jesus is coming back soon to fix everything. And while we mourn, we wait. And we persevere. And we hold on. Because Jesus is coming back. Verse 25, though I have been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language, but will tell you plainly about my Father. Verse 26, in that day you will ask in my name. I am not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and entered the world, and now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father. Let me stop right there for a minute. You know, when my son began school, kindergarten, first grade, I remember one time I came home, and my wife, with the ever-present sense of humor, I said, well, how's it going? What are they studying in school? And Vicky replies to me, she says, well, they did geometry this morning, and later in the afternoon they studied the periodic table, and then they read Shakespeare. And I'm like, what? She says, no, it's ridiculous. And, you know, it got me thinking, you know, there's a reason they don't study that stuff in first grade, because they could never possibly understand it. And the reason that Jesus has been speaking the way he's been speaking to his disciples leading up to this moment is, and he says, the reason I have spoken to you figuratively is because you are not able to understand plainly if I were to speak to you plainly. So he has, most of his earthly ministry, Jesus has spoken in a figurative mindset and figuratively speaking, he says. But then he goes on to say, but you will be understand me when I speak plainly soon. And why will they be able to eventually understand him plainly when he speaks as opposed to figuratively? Anyone? Class? Do I see any hands? because of what he's been talking about these last couple of weeks, last couple of chapters. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says it simply, "The man without the Spirit does not understand or accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned." Jesus did not just come to forgive sin. He didn't come just to atone for sin or just to free us from sin. He came to restore a fallen, sinful world. And he came to do it with a holy and righteous way, that we may be reconnected with a holy and righteous God. Have you ever been on your cell phone and you lost your connection? The tower was obstructed or something and the call was blocked. The tower, which brings that signal from a satellite to you, was obstructed. We are basically the cell phone. The tower is Jesus and the satellite is God. And when sin enters into our lives, then that sin becomes the tree or the storm or the tunnel or whatever obstruction that is. And no longer can the signal go from God to Jesus to us or the Holy Spirit in us. It got obstructed. And that is how the Old Testament was set up, with its rules and laws and regulations and sacrifices. That gave them the ability to connect. But connection was lost often in the Old Testament system of getting right with God. But Jesus came and he removed the cell phone tower, if you will, if we're sticking with this metaphor. And I am still the mediator, Jesus says, but now you have the technology or the ability to have a direct satellite link. That is, the Holy Spirit is a direct transmitter to God. And that's how it works now, with Jesus going back to the Father. And I tell you this now that you have the Spirit, Jesus is saying, that there is no need for a tower. There's no need for figurative language. And there's certainly no need for any other mediator. And that includes priests and saints and praying to Mary. That even includes pastors and popes. The Word of God, the words of Jesus, are all that we need, because the Holy Spirit is now within us. And verse 29 and 30 continues that thought. It says, "Then Jesus' disciples said, 'Now you are speaking clearly and without figures of speech. Now we can see that you know all things and that you do not even need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you came from God.'" Understanding brings peace. Verse 31, "You believe at last," Jesus answered, "but a time is coming and has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home. You will leave me alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." That is one of the greatest scriptures in the New Testament. "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." I want to close with this paradox, and that is this: understanding God and his ways brings spiritual growth. Understanding God and his ways brings spiritual growth. Now, if you've been paying attention over the last few messages, something might not be sitting right with you right now, because I've already said in recent messages past that the need to understand God and his ways is a deterrent for spiritual growth. So how can I say understanding God and his ways brings spiritual growth, but the need to understand? See, the difference comes in the needing. When you need to understand, it's different than grasping it. Truth discovered is truth applied. So when you discover the truth, you are no longer demanding an explanation. And this goes for anything that you are learning or being educated about. And the more intimate your relationship with a particular thing is, the greater your understanding of that thing. Your greatest need is not to seek understanding of God and his ways, but to draw closer to him. And by seeking this intimacy, you will by default begin to understand his will and his ways. So understanding is the result of intimacy with the Lord. Too many people want the blessings without the blesser. In summary, seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. Matthew 6:33. So seek an intimate relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ, and you will be given understanding, and then you will be given peace. Have a blessed day.